washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He can bring me out, show me the way. You found out that He could bring you out and He could show you the way. Aren't you glad He showed you the way? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight and give the Lord a real good hand clap of praise tonight. If you love Him with all your heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's another wonderful privilege to be in the house of God. How many of you enjoyed services here over the weekend? The Lord really spoke to us, didn't He? I appreciate the Word of God, don't you? Gets better all the time is all I can say. Let me just make this statement to you right now. Just welcome back to camp meeting. We're going to have church here tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord, and tell them you're glad to see them in church here tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, we're going to have a time here tonight already since he's in the house tonight. Praise the Lord. We'll let you be seated. We're going to look at our prayer request tonight. Brother Rob, if you'd get ready tonight, lead us to the Lord in prayer. First of all, let me give you this testimony. Sister Ruth Ward wants to thank the Lord for healing her of high blood pressure on Sunday morning after Brother Donnie and the saints of God prayed for her. Been running very high for 3 or 4 days. She took it on her pressure, blood pressure on Sunday afternoon, and it was normal and has been normal ever since. And she wants to praise the Lord for that. To praise the Lord. Amen. Want to pray for Sister Janet Kennedy, needs a touch from the Lord in her body. So let's remember her tonight as we pray. Want to pray for April Wiesner, 27-year-old, going to be facing heart surgery on Friday morning. They're asking that we would remember her also. Brianna Hobbs, going to be having gallbladder surgery on Thursday. That's tomorrow morning. And Noah Garland, that's my sister's little grandson, had eye surgery last week and it didn't go exactly the way it needed to, and they're asking that we would just continue to ask the Lord to let him just receive healing in his eyes. He's had eye problems since just a baby, and he's just a fine young man, about 18 years old. So let's just pray for that request tonight, if you would. Brother Barclay wants us to remember Mr. Daniels, that's needing prayer, trying to move to Florida, and just asking the leadership of the Lord. Also a prayer request for a Mr. Kincaid, having some rough times, but he's still going. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. And is it Brother the Willis family, is that a little Elizabeth Jane, is that right? We'll be getting her tonsils taken out on Monday, so let's pray for that request this evening. A young brother passed out today and is getting tests at the hospital. The Willis family also sends that in on his behalf. Sister Jessica Benton wants us to remember Chris Pico. I hope I got that last name close to right. A friend from high school. His wife died in childbirth this week, and his premature baby son died today. So they're asking that we would certainly take that on our heart tonight and remember that family as we pray. Sister Joy Sherman sends us in for Sister Phyllis Phillips, has a staph infection, high blood pressure. She asks that we would pray for her this evening, so we certainly want to remember that prayer request as we pray tonight. And Brother Ron Sherman sends us in a man from South Africa, requests that our church would pray for his business. This man has a brother from our belief working for him. The business has been slow. However, he still paid him for 10 months out of his pocket. He also did this for the other employees. They have taken advantage of this situation. Now his business is going under. He would like our church to pray for this situation. Brother Alray told him to expect a miracle. This man's name is Damaro, so let's remember that prayer request tonight. The Lord can certainly move on that behalf tonight also, can't he? Praise the Lord. Let me make these announcements while we're still sitting tonight. Brother Michael Bailey said, just a reminder to bring your Christmas shoe boxes back. If you can bring them in this weekend, it would be a great help. The last day is Wednesday, November the 19th, so remember that. Get those back in as soon as you can. A new church directory is in the making. Please update your address, phone numbers, additions to family, etc. on the sheets that's provided over in the library. Deadline is November the 30th, so remember that. And sisters, please check the fellowship hall kitchen for several items that have not been claimed for some time. So if you can do that tonight, just go over there to the kitchen and see if anything belongs to you. And If it does, why, you take it on home with you tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests by raising of your hand, you believe God's able to meet the need tonight. Isn't it good to be a Christian? Aren't you glad that the Lord showed you the way? While a lot of folks is just looking every which way in the world to get rid of this way, we're just looking to stay in this way. This is the best thing we've ever got a hold of or got a hold of us. Is that right tonight? Let's stand to our feet. Brother Rob, come tonight. Lead us to the Lord. Let's just take these needs to the Lord. God is bigger than all of our problems. God bless you, Brother Rob. Appreciate you.
God bless you. Let's pray. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before you once again. Thanksgiving in our hearts. We are so thankful for a place to come. Let us just thank you for the testimonies that have gone forth. The prayer requests once again, Lord, have come forth. Some serious needs, some surgery needs, Lord, we pray. We come before you as a body. We are so thankful, Lord, and this week in my own walk to recognize that you come upon the scene. You will fight our battles if we lay them in your feet, and it's something we do not have to pick them up. Thank you, Lord, as you manifest yourself in our lives and we see it. You drop it in our hearts, the revelation, Lord, that we're founded upon rock, and we see it in our lives and we see it in our church. We see it in our brothers and sisters. Help us to keep our eyes on you, Father. I pray, Lord God, for these prayer requests that are made. I pray, Lord God, that we can move forward in faith and deliverance and healing and just to be able to witness a living Christ to a dying world. I pray, Lord God, that you help us through this service, Lord, that we can hear from you, hear from heaven as we did this weekend. Once again, we are so blessed to be a part of it. Let it never become common. Help us to recognize your presence among us right now in this service. That's my prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ron. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here, all those that are streaming this service tonight. We pray it'd be a great blessing to those folks from around the world that stream in this service. He came looking for me. And you know what? His eyesight was good enough till he found me. Aren't you glad he found you? Aren't you glad you've been found? Give me one more hand clap of praise if you love him tonight.
One night while on life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with fear. My desperate cry rang out with fright. All I could see was no hope inside. Faith all but gone, I met the one who came looking for me.
Oh, let's sing about it now.
He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted so was there to rescue my soul and calm all my fears.
Now I'm saved from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me.
Oh, Satan had already picked out my grave. His plan had moved forward to put me away. I drifted so far with anyone. Was a matter of time. Jesus appeared and said, "This one is mine. Now I'm safe from all harm." 'Cause he walked through the storm. He came looking for me. Rescue my soul and calm all my fears.
Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me.
so far, would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? Well, I knew my destruction was a matter of time, but Jesus appeared and said, "This one is mine. I'm safe with no harm, 'cause he walked through my storm. He came looking for me. Rescued my soul, calmed all my fears.
Now safe from all harm,
since I met the one who came looking for me. He came looking for me.
Hallelujah.
Amen. This is what we can say. I thought just as Brother Rob was up here praying tonight. Lovely family. The Weber family, I'm just picking them out for example. A lovely family. Brother Rob, you wasn't looking for this. This found you. And it made such a difference in your life. Daylight to dark. Morning to night. Light to darkness. And rest of you, what a story you could tell. Hands that used to hold cans of beer. Lips that used to love to smoke cigarettes. Lips that love to say all kinds of ugly, vulgar things. Look what God's done for you. Look where He's brought you from. Look where He's brought you to. You are redeemed tonight. You are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Give Him a big hand, have a praise.
Seemed like all I could see was a struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past.
Hallelujah.
Bound up in shackles. Is this gonna last? Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. Shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet.
You set me free.
every stain. I'm not who I used to be.
Well, I am redeemed. Yes, I am redeemed.
Thank God.
Oh, give him a hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Hallelujah. Brother Jackie Benton, come tonight. You can be seated. Brother Jackie Benton, come give us a song tonight. If you don't have anything, I claim the blood would just be perfect. We love this guy right here, don't we? Give Brother Jackie a hand clap tonight as he comes.
Tonight. Amen. You determined to make it tonight?
Amen. Amen.
More than fame, wealth, or desire, more than all this world's attire, more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Take my possessions, great or small. Friends and family, you can have it all. For more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. For more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I've got to hear him say, well done. Enter in, my child, you've won. More than anything in my life, I've got to make it. What good is all I've come to know? If I gain this world, lose my soul. More than anything in my life, I've got to make it. If I can run and keep the pace, then I know I'll see his face. For more than anything, Lord, in my life, I've got to make it. For more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I've got to hear him say, well done. Enter in, my child. In my life, I've got to make it. For more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Let's sing that chorus again. For more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I want to hear him say, well done. Enter in, my child, you've won. For more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. For more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Hallelujah.
Genesis chapter 32, verse 1. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. Listen to verse 2 again. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as Brother Jackie just sung to us, Lord, more than anything in this life, we've got to make it, dear God. If we would be the richest person in the world and be lost, we would be the most handsome man or the prettiest lady, have the biggest house or whatever. We own the whole world and we'd lose our soul. What would we give in exchange for it? But Lord, I pray that the value of our souls and the value of who we are in you would mean so much to us. Dear Jesus, may you speak to us tonight from your word. As we look into the life of a man that at this stage of the journey is certainly changed, but not changed enough. May we learn by the examples which are coded in your word. Granted, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Jacob and Laban have now made a covenant. Laban has went back home. Jacob is now heading toward home. He doesn't know exactly what the future holds. His mother told him that when Esau's temper cooled, when the conditions changed, she would send a messenger and let him know. That messenger never came. So Jacob, for 20 years, has imagined, surmised, thought in his mind what it must have been like between him and Esau. But he doesn't really know. So now he comes to this stage of the journey. And isn't it just like God's grace? Then the scripture says, Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him. Now it was 20 years prior to this that Jacob coming into this land that he saw a very similar situation. Except this time it was angels ascending and descending upon a ladder. But now as he's fixing to go back and meet his brother, he does not see angels coming down upon a ladder, but he sees bodyguards. Jacob has now lived in a very tangible, visible world. But it is the power of that visible world that is now bringing such fear. But you know what? God knows exactly what we need. And he knows how to send it at exactly the right time. What Jacob needs is a little influence from the invisible world to his visible world. Now, Jacob, having met this, what a different scene it will be if God will allow some invisibility to penetrate visibility. Notice this, Jacob went on his way. And the angels of God met him. Now, in the circumstances as we see him coming into the land of Haran, we see he's in great distress. He's in fear. Doesn't know exactly where he's going, what's laying before him. 20 years later, he's coming out over 5,000 head of cattle, milch camels, all kinds of wealth. But he's just as afraid now as he was when he went in. But the fear is about a different thing. So here he comes and he really needs some help from God. Oh, I'm so glad the Lord is mindful of us. And you know, angels are unlike us, we know, of course, in many ways. And angels are certainly divine beings that are sent from the presence of God for various things. We know that much of their work is dealing with human beings, but it is a world totally, well, let me say it this way, almost mostly unknown to us. The only way that we would know what little bit that angels even do is that God would have it written in the Bible or allow a prophet to be able to convey to us their reason for being here. They're standing by your pew. They're trying to energize your faith. They're trying to help you. They're trying to speak to you, so on and so on and so on. But we get a little glimpse here of what the angels of God are now come to do to this man, Jacob. He has a lot of cattle. He has a lot of possessions. He has a great big family. But that has not eliminated his fear. So God wants to send another host to join allegiance with the host which Jacob has made. Now, the word Mahanaim means actually the two hosts or the two armies. So there is a visible army and there is an invisible army. What's this in verse 2? And when Jacob saw them and said, "This is God's host," and he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Now remember, when he saw the ladder, he called the name of that place Bethel. But now he sees different angels in a different office and a different manifestation. So now they're not climbing up and down the ladder. They're not so much there doing in reconciliatory work, but they are there as bodyguards. It's amazing how God meets us. He meets with us according to our needs. He meets with us according to where we are, and he will reveal himself in the attribute that will match what you have need of. When Jacob was going out, he needed something that would tie him to Bethel. But why doesn't he call this name Bethel 2 or Bethel 3? Because that was not what he needed. He needed something that would encourage him and give him strength. What did he need? A host. What better bodyguards could you ask for? So he names this place according to the manifestation of the angels that God has sent him. So he recognizes the angels of God not now as climbing up and down the ladder Christ, but he recognizes them as the mission they are sent for, and that is the host. Now the word host, of course, identifies itself as a large number, but not just a large number, but a large number associated in time of battle. So he identifies and recognizes that this is a host. The earthly host, which is his, and the heavenly host, which is God. So he calls the name of this place Mahanaim, the two hosts, the host of Jacob and the host of the Almighty himself. Now, what's this? The Jewish writers say the host of God consists of 60,000 angelic beings. And the Shekinah, or the divine majesty, never appears without at least 60,000 angels. Now that's just kind of the personal bodyguard. That's just the number that incorporates the Shekinah. Now what's in? So Daniel tells us that there are actually millions of angels. Daniel chapter 7 verse 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 10,000s ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Now notice this, that thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books are open. Again, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, the Bible says that there is an innumerable company of angels which stand before the throne of God. So God sends this visitation in the time of great crisis in Jacob's life. Now notice these visions and these angelic comings. They come when Jacob is in such a desperate state.
leaving his father's land, his father's home, and he's going into Haran. He's never been there before. So God sends an angel, and he sends him under symbolism of a ladder going up and down, which was Christ, the ladder hooked around the throne of God in heaven, the base of it hooked on Jesus Christ on the earth, and the angels of God ascending and descending. But now the angels of God are there to give him the strength that he needs. Why? He's fixing to meet Esau. So God is appearing to him according to his need. So the vision comes in the time of this great crisis in his life. Now, it's amazing how that God knows the needs of his people and he ministers to them in so much greater way than we could even ask for. Watch in verse 3. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother. Now, I want you to see what a parallel now that happens after verse 2. God sends angels, glory, God sends angels to Jacob before his own advent to Jacob. God sends angels to Jacob before his own advent to Jacob, and Jacob is now going to send messengers to Esau before his own advent to Esau himself. Now watch, he's going to go about this, he's going to mix right and wrong, but there is a principle about what he's going to do that is right. Now he picks this up from God in that God sent angels to forerun his own coming. And Jacob is now going to send messengers to forerun his own coming to Esau. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, into the land of Seir, the country of Edom. Now remember, whenever Jacob had left home, Esau was actually still dwelling in his father's house. But whether or not you understand this, it was through the providence of God that something actually moved upon the very heart of Esau to go ahead and move out of this country, this land of promise, which was going to be Jacob's inheritance some years later. So when Jacob returns, the conflict will not be there. Esau could have given a very great battle and a very great difficulty. But if you can understand it this way, sometimes when people go out from among us, it is actually for our good and theirs. Because if they stay, it'll demand the type of preaching that is really beneath where you are. I hope you heard that. Sometimes if people just hang around and they're not going to go on anyhow, whenever they reach that spot that they need to go to Seir, it is actually better for them and better for you. Because God is mindful of people and he'll send things, even though if it's foolish virgin, and he'll send things there among them. And yet you say, why is that being said? I don't know about you. I can't wait for the hour to come when the disciples only are gathered together. I figure we're going to hear St. John 17 and St. John 18, St. John 19. Oh my, what a time it's going to be. Now, whenever Jacob, now, the human part, no doubt he's terrified. He's afraid. We know he was because the Bible said he was. So he commands these men to go before him. But when they go up, you know, Jacob, of course, does not know that actually Esau has prophetically entered into his phase of the inheritance. Now, his father had said, you'll live by your sword. And Seir was actually named after a great man, which was living in this part of the mountain. That was a mountain that's very arid and dry. And it was a mountain that did not have the dew of heaven. It did not have the daily blessing and benefit of God, because that wasn't in his promise. So he moves over into this land. And when he does, he actually becomes a great man. He becomes what they would call a chieftain, because he has 400 men that are under him at his command. So he moves into his place, and he's moved away from Isaac. And as I said, I believe with all my heart that God was the one who let this happen, so he'd go ahead and get over and have his own name on this country. And they changed the name of this country. It was called Seir for quite a long time. But then it merged actually into the name, the new name of Esau, which was Edom, which they called his heirs or his descendants Edomites. So here he moves into this place, and he names this place after himself. So he forms his own organization, his own denomination, his own system. So he goes ahead and he leaves a message and he makes this following. And he has several hundred people who goes with him. And then no doubt several hundred that he conquers, and they go ahead and join up with him. Y'all follow me tonight? Now God, remember, God allowed this to happen knowing that Jacob is going to return to the land. And it'll be nothing but problems if he gets there and Esau is still there. So God just allows him to go, and this is out of his way. Esau's over here, he's done settled down. They got their board, they got everything. They're just happy to be there. You know, they're just as happy as if they had good sense. And they don't want to go over where Jacob is. They don't go along. I mean, they don't agree. They don't say there's a problem with bobbed hair, smoking, drinking, cussing. Just do the best you can do. You know, just be an Edomite. You don't have to be an Israelite. So they had actually come to this spot. Now, whenever Jacob begins to feel this pull toward home, God providentially is working it in that way. But when God is leading us to do something, it doesn't necessarily mean that all the fear will be gone just because we start acting on the will of God. Jacob is doing in the direction, the general direction of what God said, come on back to the land of your fathers. But because he's doing it, it doesn't mean that the way is going to be easy. It doesn't mean that everything is just going to fall right in place. He's going to have some battles. He's going to have some things he don't understand. And he's going to have some fears that's going to be left, even though he's walking in the will of God. Now, notice this in Genesis 32:4. And he commanded them, saying, now this is what the messengers are going to say. He commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak unto my Lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob. Now, I don't know about you. I've got a problem with this. Now, if Esau is his Lord and Jacob is his servant, why deal with the reproach for 20 years of getting this birthright and now you're going to give it away in this act of formality? Can't you see what he's doing? He's falling right back to the scheming old way of Jacob. Now you'd think that a visitation by the angels of God would drive this thing away from him and Jacob would be ready. My, you know, God has met him and a great host of bodyguards of angelic beings are around him and his people. But yet Jacob, because God didn't give him a clear cut answer of what to do, Jacob falls back on Jacob's wit and Jacob's cunning. So he said, now when you all go back, this is what I want you to say. I want you to say, Esau, my Lord, Esau, my Lord, Jacob, your servant, Jacob, your servant. That's contrary to the blessing. The blessing said, all your mother's children will serve you. Why is he doing this? He knows this is the sticky area. And Jacob is trying to be politically correct. This is where the problem lay. So if this is the problem, did he really believe Esau was his Lord? Of course not. He's being a hypocrite. Well, y'all might as well say amen. Some of y'all was just as good a hypocrite as he was. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak unto my Lord Esau, thy servant Jacob. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. Now what's the anxiety, the fear? Oh, but God, it would bring Jacob to such a spot that he would make such an absurd, an absolute absurd submission. Friends, true humility is a wonderful thing. But I hate fake humility. When people say, oh, I ain't nothing and I don't amount to nothing. They don't believe that a bit more than you do. Now Jacob is saying all the magic words, my Lord Esau and your servant Jacob. He didn't believe that a bit more than nothing. He's trying to work on Esau's flesh. And he's trying to conquer this battle by the means of the flesh. So he's going to take the means of the flesh to try to conquer the flesh. If that's what he needed, God should have sent him another fleshly army. He already had that, but he needed heavenly influence, not earthly influence. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak unto my Lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob said, thus I have sojourned with Laban and have stayed there until now. And I'll have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants. I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight. I'm really sorry you saw I preached that. That made you mad. I'm really sorry that I said that about bobbed hair. I should have known your wives had bobbed hair. I'm really sorry I said that about lipstick. I forgot they wore lipstick. I'm really. Now he wants to let Esau know that he's not sneaking in, of course, and hiding. And he also wants to make an impression on Esau. If he can be able to convey by words and by the merit of his wealth, then that will convey to Esau he is not there to claim the birthright. Since the birthright is the problem. Do you know the main problem the devil has with you? Sisters, it ain't your long hair. It ain't your dresses. Brothers, it ain't because you all don't wear earrings and don't look like women and because you men didn't come to church in mini skirts. That ain't the main problem the devil has with you. It's your birthright. You do those other things if you're really born of the Spirit of God because you have a birthright. And he knows that the issue is the birthright. Now, if Esau knows he's coming, then Jacob will be coming in to claim what is his. That is everything that belongs to Isaac. He's going to claim the land. He's going to get all the cattle. He's going to get everything. And they're going to be right back to square one again. So Jacob wants to let him know, you're the Lord and I'm the servant. And I've got all these things. I don't need none of that stuff. There's no problem between us. That's the kind of preacher folks want. There's no problem. There's no difference between us and the Catholic Church. If they ain't, I need to repent tonight. I need to come right here. I need to stop right now. If there ain't a difference between us and the Baptist and the Methodist and Church of God and Presbyterian, come on, children. If there ain't no difference between us and them, I need to stop preaching and have y'all to pray me through. There is major, major differences. You imagine Jacob, my Lord, I'm your servant. Look how wealthy I am. I don't want nothing of yours. I don't even want mine. Believers who are walking in faith do not need to fear the devil's threats. But Jacob was so afraid. So distressed. Verse 6. And the messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to thy brother Esau. Also he cometh to meet thee. And 400 men with him. You know, something about a guilty conscience. We don't really need gossipers to make us feel bad. We don't need other folks pointing their fingers. If you've got a guilty conscience about something, that thing within itself does a pretty decent job. Unless you just make it where you're reprobate and you ain't got no more conscience left. Now Jacob's conscience of remembering what he had done, it begins to eat on him and erode and erode and erode this faith and the supernatural experience that he's had with God seeing these angels. And now he begins to imagine the very worst. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands. Now we've broke up Mahanaim. Now God had the perfect number. The heavenly host, the earthly host merged together, Mahanaim. Now Jacob divided the earthly host into two separate bands. Now he's broke God's number. What's he using? Is he using symbolism of God? He's letting fear dictate. Now his mind goes to kicking in. Remember, he's a conniver. He's a supplanter. And his mind goes to kicking in. Oh my, oh my. Let me see here. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. if they're all together, all of us are together, and then Esau comes, he'll attack us all. Wait a minute. Let me divide. Let me see. Wait a minute. If I send part of them, and then while he's busy killing that bunch, the rest of us will be back over here, and then we can run and we can. It ain't no wonder that we lose battles so many times, friends. We try to figure it out. We try to figure out how we want this, how we want that. Come on, don't get quiet on me. Instead of remembering God's vision and remembering the presence of the angels of God, it's as if though nothing has even happened to him, and he falls back on Jacob. In this type of fear, hang on everybody, whether it's expressed by the pastor, by deacons, by preachers, by trustees, by laity, when we're expressing this amount of fear, we are not walking in faith. You ever been there, Brother Donnie? Yep, sure have. All the rest of y'all liars or what? Bible men, why try to figure out, oh, let me see if I can do this, and if I can do that, if I can do something else. You know what? I found out most of the times I try to figure out what to do, I make it worse. And I mess it up. If I just wait on God, and many of you people are going to talk about you saying this, that, and the other, and instead of you waiting on God, you know what you do? You go around and tell your side of the story. So you figure whoever gets the side out first is the one that's most believed. Hello, Jacob. What about holding our peace and let God settle? If you're right, right will always prove right. But we tend to lean on the flesh and try to settle it and try to work this out and cover our tracks into this. And you know why? You're greatly distressed. Oh my. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands. And said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. Okay, now where's the angels of God fit into all this? Where's the promise of Bethel? I will be with you. Where's the promise of Haran? I will bring you back. He doesn't even quote them. What's he relying on? Fear. And then Jacob's scheming mind goes to working and trying to figure it out. Thank God for grace. Now what would you have done about this stage? Jacob is your prophet and you're in the messenger, following the messenger of the hour. What would you have done? I'd still been following him myself. You see, when faith is crowded by fear, the heart tends to become so distressed. If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, oh God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country. Finally, he starts praying. Ain't it amazing how the order is? Instead of praying first, he schemed first and then topped it off with prayer. You know what? If we'd pray first and pray through, there wouldn't be no scheming. I said there wouldn't be no scheming. The scheming would be left totally out. But when we scheme first and try to top it off with prayer, it ain't never going to work. You know what, friend? It's like topping off a beautiful piece of pecan pie with shaving cream. Now, it may look like whipped cream, but it ain't going to taste like whipped cream. And when you top off your conniving and your this and that and the other with prayer, you're totally backward. You're ruining your pie. Now the man prays a wonderful prayer, but notice how this prayer is made. It is made out of total fear. Theologically, it's beautiful. This is the first prayer made like this in the entire book of Genesis. This man has such an understanding about the traits and the characteristics of God, but is so flawed with human fear. Oh, glory to God. I'm so glad God let things like this be written in the Bible. The Lord would say unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal with thee. Jacob, do you believe what you're saying? The God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, and you're the one who told me to come back here, and you told me if I'd come back, you'd deal with me. Well, Jacob, how's he going to deal with you if you're all killed? You see what I'm saying, friend? He's quoting what God said, but from a heart that is so full of fear. Oh, Jesus, you said you'd never leave me, Lord. But I think you have. You said you'd never forsake me. But God, it sure feels like it. Oh, God, you're mindful of me. You don't believe that, and the devil knows you don't. Because he's about to have to go to the ER from holding his side from where you're standing there shaking and trembling. What good does it do to quote the word, friend, unless faith is there to punctuate that promise? Lord, which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal with thee. Isn't it amazing? Now, Rachel at this time, remember, still has the teraphim. Her father's stolen gods. But Jacob doesn't bow before the teraphim. He doesn't pray to the angels that had met him. He knew the right source at least. Oh my. God, you're the one who told me. You're the one who told me. And what does Jacob do? I love this. It's such a powerful thing for us. Jacob reminds God of what he said. You know, Satan has learned, figured it out a long time ago, that by repeating humans' mistakes to them, it tends to paralyze their faith. So he loves to remind us of our failures and our sins and our wrongs and our shortcomings. You know, and you come to church, oh, there's so-and-so, they don't do this. And over there sits a hypocrite, and over there sits so-and-so. Before long, you sit there and listen to that service, you don't care if you ever come back here or not. You know why? Because you sat there the whole service and the devil told you everybody else's fault. More than likely left yours out. But told you everybody else's fault while I've been preaching. And then you get up and walk out and say, what Brother Donnie say? I didn't get nothing out of their service. Ain't no wonder. You'll listen to that blabbermouth singing on your shoulder there. If that's what you come to the house of God for, you need to change why you come to the house of God. The house of God is a hospital. It is where sick people come. Don't figure everybody that comes here are well. I don't know about you. I don't go to a doctor when I'm well unless I'm going for a checkup. But when I go, I got an ache. I got a pain. I got something going on. I don't just come to church to show my perfection. I come to get corrected by the word of God. I come to hear my faults preached. I come to hear where I'm wrong. Don't sit there and look at me. I come here to hear how I can be a better man. This is a hospital. And I walk in here many times sick. I walk in with a broke arm and a broke leg. But I'm going to walk out with a mended leg and a mended arm. I'm going to walk out with a good dose of medicine. So Jacob reminds the Lord, Lord, you told me to come back. Isn't it amazing in this beautiful, wonderful prayer? Jacob makes not one mention of any fault that he's done. He repents of nothing. God, I'm so sorry. God, I've been low down. God, I've been this, I've been that. No repentance whatsoever. We've got a lot of Jacobs that go to church. Anything happens to him, it's always somebody else's fault. As I said before, the tape people who don't believe in preachers, they don't know what they're missing by not having a pastor to lay all their faults on. I mean, who do the tape people blame all their problems on? I mean, you know, if they can't make it, the pastor's fault. If so-and-so happened, the pastor's fault. My tire went flat on my car. That cursed pastor. I'm not sure who the tape people blame. Poor Ping. You imagine? Well, glory. No, they don't say, oh, God, forgive me. I deceived my father. I deceived my brother. I left out of this land with such a bad attitude.
Not one word of repentance.
But he goes from the distress and then he goes into this unworthy phrase. Verse 10, I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan. With his staff. Look how poor this man was. With his staff, his rod. Didn't even have a suitcase. Didn't even have a shaving bag. He had his staff. With my staff I passed over this Jordan. And I'm coming back with all these wives and all these young'uns and thousands of head of cattle and milch camels and all this and that and the other. Oh my. For by my staff I passed over this Jordan. And now I am become two bands. And still no repentance. God's blessed me. I'll tell you what. Boy, used to I drove a Volkswagen to church. Now I drive a Cadillac. Man, used to we drove an old beat up Ford. Now we drive a BMW and a Mercedes. Woo! And used to you come to church 3 times a week. Now you come once. Because now you're so busy taking care of all that you've done. Come on, friends. Look at values. Has your Mercedes got more value than going to the house of God? Oh! Watch in verse 11. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him. Lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. Which was a common saying. This is why God gave them a law in Leviticus. When they were taking eggs from a bird's nest or small birds, not to take the dam. The dam was the mother. So this was a colloquialism that they used. Whenever he would kill the child, he would kill the mother. Or kill the mother, he would kill the child. Now he's quoting God's promise. God, you said you'd be with me. But now his heart is really praying out of distress and fear. And he's praying how he really feels. Esau's going to kill all of us. How is that going to happen? Do you believe what he said, Jacob, or not? Do you believe he'll never leave you or forsake you or not? Do you believe he's God when you're up, God when you're down, God when you're in, God when you're out? Do you believe that or not? Do you believe he's your Savior when you feel him and when you don't feel him? Oh my. Now once again he reminds God. It's amazing how we can quote the word and quoting it in such fear. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good. And make thy seed as the sand of the sea. Now he's pleading on the promise to Abraham. Now he reminds God of the promise of Bethel. And he reminds God of the promise of Haran. Man, he's quoting that word and quoting that word. But it's out of a heart that is so full of fear. You said you'd make us a multitude. You said the rapture was coming. And you'd never leave us and never forsake us. Oh my. Every statement in this prayer indicates Jacob had such an understanding of God's character. But that understanding did not eliminate the fear. Theology is wonderful. But this is what a man with great theology did. He had great theology and great understanding. And his heart is totally captured by fear. He needs an experience. He needs an experience. Does this understanding bring peace? It does not. Does praying this beautiful, wonderful prayer bring peace? It does not. Does believing this about God bring peace? It does not. And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came into his hand a present for Russia. I mean for Esau. You realize in the last 2 years, NATO has come in and picked up on Russia doing trial runs over Europe, over Asia, over 100 times in the last 2 years. They're getting closer and closer. And it's easy to see, Mr. Putin ain't afraid of us no more. The image of America has fallen in the last few years, and no doubt it was necessary to fulfill prophecy. Amen. And he's flexing his muscles, and we're shaking ours. We're gonna slap these. Yeah, y'all gonna slap my hand, and I'm gonna slap blow you all out of the water. But Mr. Putin, let me just tell you something from a servant of God. We don't have a president that's got no guts, but they got a preacher in this pulpit that does. You cannot touch God's bride. And before you ever push one button, the rapture will take place. You cannot harm God's elect. I don't care how smart you are, how many bombs you got. Hallelujah. We don't need a bomb shelter made out of concrete. We got one made out of feathers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jacob prays, and he still feels so fearful. Oh God. Oh God. What am I going to do? I think I'll quit preaching. I'm going to retire. I'm going to Acapulco. Praise the Lord. I'm going to take a sabbatical. 49 years. God, please. Oh, God. Quote His word. And then he said, what am I going to do? I'll send Esau a present. He lodged there that same night and took of that which had came into his hand a present for his brother Esau in order to pacify him. Now look at this word. The word present or gift in Hebrew is minha. It was an elaborate present consisting of beasts from Jacob's choice herds and flocks. The minha was the usual present given to a superior with the intent of securing favor and goodwill. So Jacob says in verse 20, I will appease him. Now, it's amazing when you look at this. The word is significant because it is the reference to atonement. So he says, I will cover his eyes.
Lord, children, don't you understand what God did?
Jacob said, I will cover his eyes with this present so that he will view me through this gift. Don't you see that is the work of redemption? That's what Almighty God did for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. He presented a gift to himself, and that gift covered the eyes of God's justice to where the justice was met. Hallelujah! And God looks at us not as we are, not in our human frailty, but he looks at us through the gift. Amen. It was offered to the superior one. It was offered as a covering.
Oh, hallelujah.
Then the next word is, so he will accept me. This is symbolic language. It means really, literally, so that he will lift up my face, which means accepting full deliverance and forgiveness. This present that he is going to present to Esau was 550 animals. It would take at least $100,000 today to put together such a drove of such prime animals. I mean, whenever he's sending in there, buddy, he's going to impress Esau. This is going to be, he thinks, his atonement. But he's doing it by works. He worked for every one of these lambs. He worked for every one of them camels. He's going to try to make an atonement with the works of his hands. Oh, praise the Lord. Now watch. He don't want to just do it now. He wants to do it through the eyes and the mentality and the thinking of Jacob. Okay? So I'm going to send 550 animals all told. I'll have a bunch of sheep, a bunch of cattle, a bunch of milch camels, which are very, very expensive. Milch camels mainly were owned by the Arabian lords. If you had milch camels, you were a very wealthy man. Jacob had bunches of them. So whenever he's going to see this, he's going to be impressed. But he don't want to send it all at one time. The conniver goes to thinking about it. Okay, so now if he's coming, why don't I break this up and I'll send it some men with a drove of animals. And then they'll come into the camp of Esau. And then right after them will come another drove. And they'll all be saying the same thing. Thy Lord Esau and thy servant Jacob. They'll be saying it over and over again. And this will disrupt any military maneuvers that Esau has planned. Because he's going to be overwhelmed by hundreds and hundreds of animals. And he won't want to leave them animals in the desert. So them animals will also slow down his progress. And he will no longer be able to move in stealth. But my sheep, my goats, my milch camels, they'll all be like, meh, meh. So I'll hear him. And I'll also have some of my employees in his band. Watch this guy. And God just lets him go ahead. But he's fixing to take care of him. Jacob don't know it. But Christ is getting ready for the match. She-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams. Now this is according to the allotment of breeding and the cycle of that day. 30 milch camels with their colts, 40 kine, 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, 10 foals. And he delivered them in the hands of his servants, every drove by themselves. And said unto his servants, pass over before me and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, whose art thou, and thou where goest thou? And where are these before thee? And then thou shalt say, these be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau. And behold, he is behind us. So watch him now. Conniving comes together with conniving. So he's going to use the present to try to bring redemption. He's going to say the titles of the words, my Lord and your servant and all that sort of thing. We've been calling ourselves bride, but since it offends you all, we'll quit calling ourselves bride and we'll just call ourselves church like everybody else. Since us saying that us being bride may offend some of you all, if it offends you, I'm going to say it even more. If a prophet of God renamed us and said, I no longer call you church, but I call you bride, you ain't going to get me to hang my head when I say bride. I'm not going to the conniving way of Jacob and say, well, we're all the same. We're all the same. You all be the bride and we'll be the servants. No, sir, that's not the way it works. And that ain't humility. That's outright lying. So Jacob is back to groveling again. Yes, your royal highness. Yes, your royal highness. There's one thing I won't do. When I get in trouble, I may cry. I may have fear. I may do all kinds of things. But I promise you.
As long as I'm in my right mind, I will never grovel to the devil.
Satan, if you'll ease up on me, if you'll ease up. I may cry. I may feel like running and hiding sometime. I may feel like going to Acapulco myself. You know what? I may do all that. But there's one thing I will not do. I'll not bow my knee to that liar. I will not bow my knee to that baby killer. To that one who's done all this destruction on the earth. I refuse. Anybody in here with me? We may get afraid. We may get distressed. But I refuse to bow down. So do I refuse to bow down before the church and let them and be my Lord.
Hallelujah.
I refuse to bow to the Pope and say we're all the same. I'm not the same with them.
So Jacob's gift was not a work of faith. It was works. You see, the real problem in this whole thing is not Esau. It's Jacob. But Christ is getting ready. So he commanded the second and the third and all that followed the drove, saying, on this manner shall you speak unto Esau when you find him. And say, moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him. That's the kind of pastor a lot of folks want. They want a pastor that as soon as they snap their friend, I want a meeting with you. He's supposed to do it right then or he's a devil. You preach too loud. You scream. I don't like. Huh. As soon as I find my remote, you'll be the first one I'll let use it. Fair enough. Just as soon as I find my remote, each one of you get a Wednesday night. But until I do, I'll run on auto volume control. I will appease him with the present. So went the present over before him, and he himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night. And took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford, emptying. The ford, emptying. Emptying. Shabak. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. But the next verse tells us, but he himself stayed on this side, the north side of the brook. I can see the oleander as it's blowing in the night. The night sky is so deep and starry. Where this place is, they can take you exactly to this same place today. Because Jabbok is where two streams actually come together and join the Jordan. So they know exactly where it's at. Actually, this particular place was quite difficult to see because of the banks, the way that it went down in there. And the oleander would stand up on the banks and blow in the wind. He takes his family over, and he's on the north side. So he's nervous. He's all tore up. And he hears something in the bushes. Let's stand. Rest of the story, you'll have to come back. Either that or stay home and stream. It's up to you. Oh my, don't you appreciate God's grace? Amen. Friends, look at your own lives. How much scheming, devising, plans, this, that, the other have we done?
Aren't you glad God don't leave us to our ways?
Amen.
Lord, there ain't no telling where we'd be, Brother Skip, as Christians. If God would have left us to our human ways after we become Christians. Thank God for His grace to us. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Carol asked me a week or so ago if I was done with Jacob, and I said, yeah, I think so. I don't think there's anything else I'm going to deal with. She said, oh no, you've got to deal with him. Meaning the angels there. I said, I don't think so. I ain't felt no leading to go that way so far. But after she mentioned it to me, and I began to think about it and think about it, and Lord, it's like it exploded on me. I'm sure glad it did. Thank you for these things, Lord. It doesn't make us want to be conniving and sneaking and all of that, Lord. It makes us want to lay aside all of those things. I don't know exactly what my last match will be. I don't know what lays before me at Jabbok. These people may not. We may walk into the oleander strong, stubborn, rebellious. We may wrestle all night. Lord, we know that the reason that it went on all night was it was Jacob's will. It was Jacob's stubbornness was what took an all-night wrestling match. It wasn't you. It took him that long wrestling with God to give up. And finally, you had to touch the hollow of his thigh and show him you had power over him. And then he recognized who you were. Lord, many of us have been wrestling for 10 years, 15 years. Some of these folks have been wrestling with habits, besetting sins, things in their lives. Just not the ability to give up. And then they wonder, why can't I go on? Why can't I go on? This wrestling match wouldn't even have had to have happened. Or if it did, it could have been minimized. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 at the max. And I am overwhelmed when I see what you did. You allowed a mortal man to overpower you all night long so that you might redeem that man. Lord Jesus, that was you. But you allowed yourself in that form of humanity to be overwhelmed by Jacob in order to bring Jacob out of that position. Hallelujah. Lord, may we see that you became us that we might become you. Hallelujah. You let Jacob hit you, throw you, maybe pull your hair, whatever it was that he'd done. And you submitted yourself in such a way and took the blows. Maybe Jacob knocked the wind out of you, as it were. Had your head in a headlock. Whatever it was that he'd done, it lasted all night long. And you did that for his sake in order to redeem him. You couldn't redeem him if you'd have killed him. So you suffered his blows. Lord, I think of myself. How many blows have I give you? Oh, God don't love me. God don't care for me. How many blows have I hit you right in the face? How many blows, Lord, have I put on you? Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God. May each of us look at our hearts, our lives tonight, Lord. Help us, I pray. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Hallelujah. May we be able to meet you in this place, Lord. Grant it, dear God. If I'm wrestling until in the morning, the only reason I'm doing it is because of my stubbornness. It don't take you that long. It's us. Help us, Father. Finally, you touched the hollow of his thigh to show him. You could have done that 5 minutes after the battle started. And no doubt through this act, he saw who it was.
And he realized, then it changes from a wrestling match to he begs you, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. He didn't say that first. He'd have never had that wrestling match if he'd have known it was you. But you was working on him. His pride, his arrogance, his stubbornness, his fear. Wrestling. No doubt as it went on, he began to think, what kind of a man is this? What kind of a guy is this? And all of a sudden, you done something supernatural that nobody else could have done but you. And then he knew. The prophet said he walked in there a strong man. But he left a limping prince. Praise God. A limping prince. Let the world look at us and make fun of us. Ridicule all of them bunch of, they follow William Brown. They can't do this. They can't do that. Look at them limping. Yep.
And we're proud of it.
Yes. They can bob their hair, paint their face, drink as many beers as they want to drink, do whatever they want to do. They want to call that freedom. That's bondage to us, Lord. Yes. In their eyes, we may be limping, but at least we're princes and princesses when we're limping out. Hallelujah. We'll have to work our way out of the oleander and we'll be different when we come out. And the prophet said that he limped the rest of his life. Praise be to God. Oh, Jesus, we love you tonight, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Would you just raise your hands, children, young, old, those of you streaming, those of you that archive. You got a besetting sin. Pornography got a hold of you. Prescription medicine. Lust. Pride. Money. Why don't you commit that to God tonight? Whatever you put before Him, friends, is an idol. If it's your wife, shopping, ideologies of people, what people think about you matters more than what God thinks about you. That's an idol. Oh, Jacob, why don't you come down in the shadows of the oleander? Why don't you let the starry sky shine upon you tonight? Meet Christ, the angel of God. Hallelujah. Don't wrestle till next weekend. Don't wrestle all till next week. Let's settle it right here, right now. I surrender all. Give it all. Your pride, your arrogance, self, whatever it is that's held you back. Give it to Christ. Because if you're His, He will wear you out. He is going to win this match. He's never lost one yet. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, Jacob. Let's just raise our hands as a sign of surrender to Him. Let's just say it up front. Let's just say it up front what it took Jacob all night to realize. I ain't no match for you, Christ. I'm not even going to try. I can't outwit you. I can't outsmart you. I can't out-wrestle you. I can't outthink you. You're my King. I need you. I need you, Lord God. Right here in the oleander. Right here, Lord, under the starry sky. The ripples of Jabbok. I have emptied out. Glory. I have emptied out. So Jabbok emptied out into Jordan. So emptying out into death. And what does it bring? A limping prince on the other side. Oh God, may we empty out. May we die to ourselves. May we limp on the other side, Lord Jesus, as the conquerors. Then when Jacob comes out on the other side, he don't have to say, my Lord, I'm your servant, I'm this, that. But he could go now after an experience with God. The fine quotes was wonderful. The scriptures was wonderful. But they still left him a coward. But after that wrestling match, he come out of their chains knowing you would go before him. Praise God. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, I magnify your name to that, Lord. Let's just worship him, children. That little secret thing in your life. That little thing maybe nobody knows about but you and God. Maybe there's just something in your life that it's a strain or whatever it is. Why don't you just commit it to him tonight? Just commit it to him. Brother Donnie, I've tried before, I've tried. But tonight might be the very night where you'll be able to do it with faith. Instead of just praying like Jacob, quoting the word, quoting it out of fear because some preacher preached on you. Well, I got to get rid of this thing. But just let faith do it. Just relax. As a prophet would tell the people over and over again when they come in the presence of that angel and said, now don't be nervous. Just relax. And he said, let me tell you how you're feeling. You're feeling a warm, sweet
comfortable feeling.
Isn't that amazing that he never identified that presence as running, screaming, shouting, hanging onto the chandeliers, knocking the benches over? That's never the presence that I've ever found that he identified of the presence of that angel. How many times have we missed it? It was just a warm, sweet, comfortable feeling. And we was waiting for the scream or the shout or the holler. Friends, let's not miss him as he's passing by tonight. Oh, glory. Glory. Why don't you take your gloves off? Why don't you take your gloves off and just lay them down? Ain't you tired of hitting Jesus in the face? Ain't you tired of taking your words and your unbelief and your fear and smacking around on him? Wasn't one Calvary enough? So you got to beat him at Jabbok because you're not willing to die? God, if you don't do this, I ain't serving you. I'm quitting, God. How can I be the bride? I tell you one thing, God, since I started serving you, you know what you're doing? You're taking your gloves and hitting him around the eyes, hitting him in the face. And through your blows, his lips swelling, as it were. Let's not do that no more. Let's take our gloves off against the Lord Jesus. Don't get rid of them, but put them on against the devil. Hallelujah. Let the starlight permeate our souls tonight. Let the moon, as it comes down through on the skies, as a silver oleander begins to blow in the wind, and we hear the trickle of the brook, Jabbok. Let's meet our opponent. Jacob was wrestling with God. I hope you understand there's a great difference in wrestling against God and wrestling with God. The world wrestles against him because they hate his ways. Believers ain't wrestling against him in that sense, but we wrestle with him. That wrestle is him trying to bring us to the place of submission. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I'm crying, Savior. Not to save us, but to deliver us. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me. Let's just raise your hands and sing it before I let you go. Praise God, everybody. We're crying, Savior. Savior. Master, won't you hear my Thou art calling me, Master, do. God bless you, saints. See you this weekend. Go in the fear of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I think it's good to see y'all here tonight. Amen. Singing as you go. We're crying, sing.